Welcome back to the Remnant Radio Show. This is Preparation Skills Series, Part 15A, with Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy and Suzette Robinson. Let us continue.
Today, we are talking about plastic bags, even though we did talk about that with our pillowcases.
Yes. Well, we've touched on this on a couple of things, that cold and wet, that your clothing is your first line of defense above everything else, even water. And that cold and wet is much more dangerous and subject to hypothermia than just cold. So you really want to make sure that you have ways to stay dry. And, I mean, I don't know how many remember the, you know, using the old bread bags to keep your feet dry when you were a kid. But, you know, it's good to have Ziplocs and trash bags in your bug out bags and in your stuff. And if you do things where you use the vacuum seal bags, you want to make sure that you have, when you open those things, if they're not going to be something you're going to use all of it, vacuum seal bags do not, you know, close back up. You want to have something like a Ziploc bag to put them back into.
Right. Now, also, with a plastic bag, you can make makeshift ponchos.
And with little Ziploc bags, you can make things to flush wounds or all kinds of things. Yeah, ponchos, that's a, you know, I'm pretty sure we did, most of us did that at least once as a child.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Pop.
We don't drink pop in our house.
No, we're talking soda pop, right?
Soda pop. I think it's called cola or Coke in the South. It stores for a long time. It is a source of sugar. We all know that aspartame is toxic, and we do not want to do the diet stuff. The biggest thing with it is that it does store for a long time. We don't drink it. But even if it's flat, if it's sealed, it's still drinkable. The bottles are personally what I use for storing water, and you can also store dried goods in there. If you clean them out properly and make sure they're fully dry, you can do dried goods like rice or beans. It is a plastic. It's not the greatest solution.
Unless it's a Mexican Coke. You know, in Mexican restaurants, I sell Mexican Coke, and now I see that Costco is carrying them.
And what's the thing with the Mexican Coke?
Well, number one, it's made with sugar, cane sugar. And number two, they come in glass bottles, the old-fashioned glass bottles.
Which is a great way to get some nice glass bottles. And how cute are those? I mean, whether you drink pop or not, the Coke bottles are cute. I mean, they're iconic, right?
Yeah.
But I get my pop bottles to store emergency water. And we are, I mentioned it before, we are currently in the city on city water. And it is fluoridated. I did fight that and lost. But it does have enough fluoridation and chemicals in it. That's the one good thing about city water, that you can store it in cleaned out pop bottles relatively indefinitely without worry of contamination. I've been told I don't have to filter it, but I probably would myself, unless it was really an emergency situation. I didn't have a filter. I would probably still run it through a good filter.
Yeah, and I would actually be Larry. I think it would depend on your city and water supply because, you know, a lot of people find that that's another reason why they use the Dalton water filters is because there is more sometimes bacteria and stuff in the local waters. And sometimes municipalities have to shut down because, you know, their water is dirtier than outside of the limits that they allow. So you might, you know, that may be true on one hand. On the other hand, you might really want to check out your local supply of water and maybe even have it tested to make sure. So
right. And as good as well water is for us, they don't recommend doing this with well water.
Yeah.
It's one case where
same problem. You know, you got all your neighbors urinating down the toilets with pharmaceuticals, much less the chemicals they're putting on the lawns.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not an advocate of city water. I'm so grateful that we are going to be moving to a place that has well water. I do have because I am on city water and I am dependent on the water system, you know, running at this current house we're in. I do have emergency water in pop bottles.
And yeah.
Rather than go thirsty or not being able to bathe or wash, and certainly for bathing, it's not as bad as drinking. It's better than nothing, but it's not the ideal. But yeah, definitely know your quality of water.
And you know what I use, because we don't really do pop, is we use like the Lipton tea or the tea bottles of, you know, the glass bottles of the different juices or teas when we're traveling. It's not the best stuff to drink if you're being really healthy, but I know it's better than the pop. Now, one thing to consider about a pop, though, a soda pop, is you can take the corrosion off your batteries.
Yep, and there might be other uses for it.
There is a whole list out there if you want to Google it of uses for soda pop, and it's not internally drinking. So
yeah,
that's something to consider.
Yeah, we're definitely not advocating pop as a food source, but
right. And now we even today have the problem with, say, the Pepsi products and the fetal tissue that they use to, you know,
develop,
create their taste and develop and whatever. So, you know, Pepsi's definitely off our list for sure.
Yep.
If we're going to buy any pop at all. So, all righty. And the next on the list is potassium iodate. What is that and what is it for?
That is the stuff that everybody wanted to get their hands on that everybody ran out of after Fukushima. That mm-hmm. is the stuff that you take when there is a nuclear event that protects the thyroid from radioactive iodine. And it's 99.9% effective against radiation.
Right. And this is something you take to help protect your thyroid in case of radiation. And I had done an article on this years ago. I need to redo it and repost it. But also, rose oil is good for radiation burns.
And you can get rose essential oil or shemin by going to www.remnantremedy.net.
And you might want to get some bentonite clay, some activated charcoal, because you want to take the poisons. One of the other ways besides your thyroid that radiation gets to you is your gut and your digestive system. And it's a very slow and painful situation. So hopefully in the future I'll republish that. But these are things that, you know, you need to have healthy ways of binding these chemicals and metals and poisons out of the body and get them out.
And in the last 2 years, several times, there have been people who have needed activated charcoal for hobo spider bites and brown recluse. You can make poultices. You can also take that internally. You can bind other kinds of chemicals. It's usually activated charcoal is part of a detox program. And it's really important that if you do take it internally, that you're taking apple juice and plenty of liquid so you don't get bound up and get constipated. So check out activated charcoal. I think it's really important for people's preparedness kits and first aid kits, for sure.
And I recommend if you're going to get the, you know, to get stuff to guard against radiation. And I've already seen, shortly after Fukushima, there were the FDA or somebody was testing the milk in both like Maine or Massachusetts and on the West Coast. And I was really puzzled by that. And I said, well, why, you know, it's only been a few weeks and why are they testing for the Fukushima radiation? And it was positive in both cases. And that, I guess, is one of the things that happened with Chernobyl. A lot of people died from consuming the dairy products because the cattle and stuff were consuming the radiated crops in the field, and then the people were consuming the dairy products. So there's more to radiation than just the obvious that maybe we think of when we think about the movies or something. It's good to have this stuff. Definitely you want to have it before an event happens. So after Fukushima happened, you could not find potassium iodate practically for any price.
That's right. You couldn't.
It was gone. It's now come back. It is available now. The dangers of the radiation from Fukushima have not gone. That stuff spilled into the ocean. Millions and millions and millions of gallons of radiated fuel water went out into the ocean. I mean, we all know water dissipates things. We joke, and we have a couple brothers, and we talk about our pre-Fukushima tuna. You know.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to buy tuna anymore.
I'm wondering if there's a premium for that because I have cans and cans of it. And
that's right.
It's something to think about, the food supply. There's a really good video, and I wish I knew the name. It's a lady with a doctor of something, and she talks about, I think she's Canadian. It's a short little clip, but she talks about the effects of radiation and the years of breakdown and the way that it goes through the system. And I personally believe Fukushima has to be an end time event as far as the contamination that it has put onto the planet. Chernobyl was one, and I don't think, you know, it's so long lasting, but for supplies, you want to have it before you need it. And you want to have your body having your thyroid in proper order and having it properly supplied in the right nutrition. This all goes back to, you know, being ready and living a lifestyle that aids in your health to begin with, because when the events happen, you are more susceptible. Fluoride is one of those chemicals that competes for iodine in the body. And linen is also said to be naturally radioactive, protect against, I think it's gamma radiation, am I right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So have these things before you need them. And like you said, there's other things besides just worrying about your thyroid to worry about, you know, radiation exposure. But ABBA has given us several things, from, you know, clothing to things we can take and supplements to protect from radiation. And it's certainly in the environment, because man has decided that he is able to use it, and clearly we are not. We
right.
can't control it.
And, you know, you might want to, you know, what I do is we bought a lot of kelp, and you couldn't find kelp during that time after Fukushima either, because people know what the kelp does. Learn to start using kelp and incorporate it in your daily use in your diet, and have some on hand. It wouldn't hurt to have 5 or 10 pounds of kelp sitting around, number one, for your health, and number two, so that if you had a radiation situation. Kelp also has so many other good things for the metabolism and the thyroid, and it also helps your body protect against strontium, which people know is also a cancer-causing agent. So, you know, you might want to look at, I don't think it would be the big lifesaver, but, you know, for the thyroid, you might want to look at the essential oil blend Vitality that we carry. But there's lots of things to consider when we're dealing with radiation. And, of course, I really believe that you should also consider your attire and linen. And I encourage you to go to our website,
remnantremedy.net/radio, or just go to remnantremedy.net, and you will see over there on the right an icon that you can click on for radio. And when you get there, you'll be able to see the different categories of Shemin essential oils, Sheish linen, and there's EMF shields and preparation skills and Moedim. So just look for the category that you're looking for. And in particular, there is a Rebuilding the Living Stones
series, which is the foundation of showing that we are living stones of light and energy that Yahweh's created for the foundation of understanding why we want to wear linen. But I did a particular show on linen and gamma radiation, and which also may come from just the sun in the future. So that is something else to consider, is what you wear in your attire. And I just want to share briefly, Fukushima happened, I think it was March, right?
11th, yeah.
March, of, okay.
Yeah.
Was it March?
Some weird numbers, you know, 3
right.
and 11, yeah.
Right. And then the following fall, which is only, you know, September, what, 6 months or so, I was in Florida on the East Coast, okay, coming from the Northwest. And, of course, you know, Japan is way over there off in the Pacific Ocean over farther Northwest. But here I am approximately 6 months later on the East Coast of the United States, and I am down at the beach. And I was there the night before, and I walked back down the next morning, and I noticed there would look like trash or debris had washed up on this private beach. And I was like really perplexed, you know, like who came and trashed the beach? And then I realized when I looked down, I saw a glass vial, like a medical vial that you break. And it had Japanese writing on it. And it had floated out of the sea up with some urine sample containers.
Ew.
And I mean, you know, and then I did some research and found that what's happening is on the coasts of many countries, but especially the United States, they are getting things washing up on the seashore. And some of it is not very healthy, okay? And some of it is, you know, they found safes and boats and broken pieces and parts of houses and, you know, sometimes bodies. But the thing is people don't want to ruin the tourist industry, so they don't really address these topics. So it was like, where do you take a urine sample? Where do you, you know, what if I broke that open and it was morphine or, you know, something that if it touched you instantly, you could die from the pharmacia. So I actually went and took it to someone who worked for a doctor and gave it to the doctor for them to deal with, because I didn't want to just break it and flush it down the toilet, not knowing what I was putting down the toilet. And people don't realize when they flush their medications or when they urinate or, you know, have their excrements go into the sewage system and or the septic systems, that it affects the groundwater. And, you know, there's nothing I can do about my neighbors doing pharmacia, you know. So this is a worldwide problem. And I'm not comfortable going to the beaches anymore. And I would love for someone to tell me if they know. One of the things I noticed when I was there was that the ocean did not taste very salty anymore. And I just wonder if kelp and salt, you know, from that perspective, can absorb or take radiation. Is it possible that the radiation in the ocean is compensated somewhat by the salt of the sea or other chemicals or kelp, and that in one way it's killing the sea, but that's the sea's way of protecting itself? I don't know, but I have a suspicion there might be something to that.
We know yeah makes things really, you know, interrelated and powerful and connected. So it wouldn't surprise me. And that would be, I mean, I consider, I don't know, I'm not saying it's a trumpet or it was something, but I certainly see the long-term effects of both Chernobyl, which really isn't talked about, but Fukushima, the fact that it discharged so much into the ocean, to me, you know, I don't think we've begun to understand.
No.
What that is going to do and into the atmosphere, and that it is global. It's not just going to affect the people of Japan.
No, it's not. And I was just going to share with you, I know a grown young lady who's in her mid-20s who was, her mother carried her in the womb in the Northwest when Chernobyl went off. And several women who were pregnant during that time, just, you know, living thousands of miles over from those locations of these accidents that happened, their children were born without parts and were deformed, or things didn't finish forming. And again, these women, are some of these children, some of them are boys, they're suffering from these issues today. And we don't know, like you say, what is it maybe in their DNA or whatever that could be passed on. I mean, this, and then of course we have new events like this that happen.
And I've heard that you don't eat, I think it was from that same doctor, don't eat things, dried fruits and things out of Turkey. Most of Europe was radiated from Chernobyl, and I guess Turkey was particularly hit. And a lot of the times when you see like the dried dates and stuff like that, they come from Turkey. And they don't tell us that. They don't say, oh, by the way, this stuff might all be, you know, radiated still from Chernobyl. You know, radiation isn't something that is here today and gone tomorrow. And it's tragic, especially when you talk about, you know, how it's going to affect people. And we know that the military has been using depleted uranium. I think it's like to harden the shell casings or something in Iraq. And I'm assuming in Afghanistan, I don't know if that's just a new standard for the military or what. But the birth defects, some of the stuff about the birth defects and things that are happening. And the soldiers are exposed. I mean, you know, I guess I'm more merciful on the enemy to think, I don't think that if you're in a war situation that you need to necessarily destroy every, you know, future generation and unborn children in the process. But aside from that, our military soldiers are paying the price for the use of those materials as well. So there's a lot of use of radiation in the world. And I think man just got hubris and just decided, you know, they thought they could keep that genie in the bottle, and they can't.
Right. And scriptures tell us, Father's going to judge those who are destroying the earth. So, all right. So powder, kind of powder.
Well, like talcum powder, which we know is not the healthiest thing. So there's some more natural things you can use. It's to help keep chafing down, keep your feet dry. You know, it doesn't have to be a major thing, but something to think about. Cornstarch is a good natural alternative.
Absolutely. Use that on our children instead of the talcum powder, because we know that talcum powder is a carcinogenic.
So you want to go with the natural stuff in the cornstarch. I don't know what other than cornstarch is.
Arrowroot powder might be another one.
Okay, good for people to have, like you said, and sometimes as an alternative for a diaper cream as well.
Right, and of course you can do that with salves and oils, but the powder with the cornstarch or arrowroot powder is something to consider. And I don't know, I've never tried it, but there's, of course, potato starch, which is powdered, so. All right, powdered food.
Powdered food would be such as a protein powder. Sometimes now, some of this stuff is, you know, you have to really look at the ingredients. But we're talking survival, you know, life versus death, or, you know, especially situations of scrounging or, you know, interruption in supply or something where this is what you have and you can, you know, you have access to it. In the health food sections and stuff in the grocery stores, you can find the protein powders. And it is a lightweight way to have a protein source. But, you know, check the extra ingredients to make sure that there's not stuff you don't want.
All right. Powdered milk.
In Mylar bags, powdered milk will last for 10 to 20 years. And, like, we've come off of cow's milk, except for cheese, since Fukushima. And maybe ice cream and stuff. Maybe we should be off of ice cream, too, but that's another story.
You can make it with goat's milk.
Yes. The powdered milk, most of it is going to be cow's milk, but there is Meyenberg? I think it's called Meyenberg brand of goat's milk that you can get on Amazon. Comes in a can. My oldest used it. She made her own homemade formula when she was supplementing from breastfeeding. And the powdered milk is a great way to have a source of milk if you don't have – it's great if you have animals and things that you can milk. But for bug out bags and for emergency supplies, you could get a large amount of milk. And there's a lot of things that we use milk for. You know, I know there's people talk about, you know, that humans weren't meant to do other animals' milk and things like that. And it's not for everyone, but there's a lot of uses for milk. And it might be even for an infant. What if you had an infant and, yeah, forbid, you know, the mother was not around or whatever. Even if you normally wouldn't want to do animal milk, it's something to consider to have in your supplies.
Right. Now, I'm not really up to par on that because I'm not a, you know, the only reason I use cow's powdered milk is when I want to make a thick goat's yogurt. But I'm assuming that there is perhaps rice powdered milk, soy almond powdered milk out there as alternatives, and or goat's powdered milk.
I've seen goats. I haven't seen the others, but that's certainly something to look into because we pretty much do rice and almond milk as a milk source.
Okay.
And so I would be very excited to find powdered milk. I haven't looked into it. I really didn't think about it. I do have powdered milk, cow's milk, that I've had for my emergency supplies, and I just figure in that case I'll use it. And I'm going to start getting the Meyenberg stuff because it's very good. If you read their story and how they farm and everything, they have a very nice product. But that would be great to find some in the vegetarian sources.
Right. All right. Pump action BB guns.
Don't rely on it for defense. It could deter small animals and maybe some intruders, but the nice thing about it is it does not require licensing and it's inexpensive. And because it's pump action, you can make it have more force than, you know, just a regular BB gun.
Right.
And the BBs aren't that expensive, and they're not nearly as difficult as, you know, ammunition and other things.
On the other hand, do be very safe and train your children or whoever that it can be a deadly weapon and can put out eyeballs and things. So it is dangerous, but it's not definitely the power of a handgun or a rifle.
Absolutely. And it would be a great way to train your children on proper handling of firearms.
We like to use them sometimes for crows when they like to come and eat all the eggs from the chicken yard because they can be a real nuisance.
Okay, Suzette, we're out of time today. So please, listeners, join us again next time on Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. We will be going next to Part 15B. And you can visit www.paintedtongue.com and pick up a list there that we're going over. And please visit us at www.remnantremedy.net. You can also go to www.remnantremedy.net/radio where we have archives for this preparation series and many others. Thank you again, and may your garments always be white, and may your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
She takes the time to prepare. She bends her when she hears of disaster, she